girls going out to children's church. Open your Bibles, please, to John chapter 3. Brother Brad and I hardly ever communicate about what we're going to do in the morning service. Occasionally, he'll come by the office and see which way we're heading this morning. But he's already got something on his heart. I've already got something on my heart. And I am thankful for the Holy Ghost. The old song said, all is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. I've been emphasizing getting closer to Him and more like Him. And you will recall that I mentioned that it is an absolutely impossibility for us to do that apart from the work of the Holy Spirit. Draw nigh unto God and He'll draw nigh to you. But the Lord said, no man comes to the Father except unto me, except the Father draw him. And the Holy Ghost of God is the agent of drawing, pulling us to Him, drawing to it. He said in Jeremiah, I have drawn you with cords of love. He drew us to Himself. The Holy Ghost of God's working. And without Him, everything else is vain. We need in this hour in Benson Grove Baptist Church, as well as all the churches across the country, to be reminded once again of the work of the Holy Ghost. Look in your Bible, please, in John chapter 3, and I want to read a lengthy passage, but I'm going to preach on one verse. John chapter 3, and I call your attention to verse number 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night, and he said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, thou hearest the sound thereof, but thou canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? And Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel, knowest not these things? Very, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I've told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on the Son is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. I want to read one last verse here, in the last verse of this chapter, verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. Will you bow with me for prayer? Father, I pray now the Holy Ghost of God, our Father, will breathe in this place. Thank you for anointing the choir. Thank you, Lord God, for touching and anointing Lynette and Chris and the special music, Lord, and the congregational singing this morning. And I, Father, I bow before you and confess that there's no good thing in me. And God, apart from your work, your hand, the anointing that makes the difference, I pray, God, for the Holy Ghost of God to move. Our Father, you're not limited by time or space or distance. And our Father, those who join us by the means of the internet, God, you can be just as real where they are as you will be in this auditorium. I pray, God, that you'd speak to them, speak to every heart here. I pray for every man, every woman, every boy, every girl. Our Father, as Lynetta said earlier, that not one would leave being sorry if they didn't respond to the drawing power of the Holy Ghost of God and be born again. I pray, God, that every person who leaves this building, our Father, will be in heaven one day. I pray now that, Lord, you'd speak. God, give me your anointing, and I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. The Word of God teaches that we're drawn and dealt with by the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus said the Spirit of God came into the world to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. No man's ever been saved, no woman's ever been saved, apart from the work of the Holy Spirit of God. It's not a matter of wearing down somebody's will. It's not a matter of educating them in their salvation. It's a matter of a revelation where the Spirit of God reveals to that individual through the gospel message that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that every person is a sinner, and without Christ, the wages of sin is death. You'll be in hell for all eternity. When God gets everything out of the way, when the Holy Spirit of God gets everything out of the way, and you're not saying, I'm as good as so-and-so, or I'm not as bad as so-and-so, when you get to the place that you just feel like there's nobody in the world but you and God, and you've been confronted with the Holy God, and He's convinced you through the work of the Holy Spirit of God that you're a sinner, that you're lost, and if you don't get saved, you'll be in hell for all eternity, then the Holy Spirit of God will share with you this wonderful truth that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He'll give you that opportunity to turn in faith and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said that when you do that in faith, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And when you trust Christ, the Bible said the Spirit of God comes in your heart crying, Abba, Father. That's the birth cry of every person who's ever been saved, that He's no longer just God. He is now your Father. You've been born again by the grace of God. Here's a religious leader who probably knew more about the Old Testament than any of us in this room, who'd had more experience in religious ritual than anybody in this room. He'd witnessed sacrifices and all those things, and he'd been involved in all types of things. My dear friend, he came to Jesus by night, and he couldn't understand this concept. How is it that when a man is old, he can be born again? Jesus said, except you be born again, you can't go to heaven. And how do you explain that? How can you explain that? Jesus shares with him that wonderful truth that's given to us in verse number 8. Look at it and listen to what it said. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nobody is saved that has not been born of the Holy Spirit. I want you to notice several things in this one verse this morning. Number one, the wind bloweth. That is the constant work of the Holy Spirit of God. He's never quit working in all of this age we're living in. The Bible said in Genesis chapter 1, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. The Holy Spirit of God moved in creative act. And in the last chapter of this Bible, in the book of Revelation, it said, the Spirit and the bride say, come. He's still moving in the book of Revelation. And He's moving today. He's always been moving. He's never inactive. He's here around us today. And He's working in this world that we're living in. I thank the Lord that He's through all the pages of this book. You see the work and the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. The wind is blowing. The wind is blowing. Nicodemus couldn't understand the work of the Holy Spirit of God, but he reminds him of the wind. In the Greek and Hebrew language, the same word has three different applications. Number one, it speaks of the breath of life. That same word often is described, pictures breath of life. You remember the story where God formed Adam out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life? That wind is the breath of life. It is when the Holy Ghost of God breathes life into us and we take that breath. When that baby is born and comes out of its mother's womb, it takes that first breath. The old picture was that when the baby is born, the doctor slaps them on the bottom and they take that first deep breath of air, they are born. My dear friend, when you get saved by the Holy Spirit of God, it is the breath of God. I want you to understand that when you got saved, God went way off up yonder somewhere, that you were under conviction, you were lost, but He was right there in the person of the Holy Spirit of God. And when you turned in faith, He breathed into you the breath of life. The Spirit of God came into you. You became a living soul. You passed from death into life. My dear friend, you're alive forevermore. And now we become partakers of a divine nature, because of the work of the Holy Spirit of God. The wind bloweth. He's still blowing, my dear friend. He blows in this world. My dear friend, sometimes He's a gentle breeze, but sometimes He's a raging tornado in certain areas. And listen, my dear friend, you see Him here, the tornado's here, and then it'll jump over here and jump over there. But sometimes He's like a hurricane of great judgment when He comes sweeping across the place. And I'm telling you one thing, I'm praying as Brad wrote and prayed for us this morning, and in the singing of the choir, I'm praying for the breath of heaven to blow across this congregation, blow across this church, that we'd feel the presence of God. It's not intellect, it's not emotion. It is the presence of a holy God that we need more than anything else in this hour. We need the supernatural to move here among us and to come into us. He's invaded in generations past. He blew across the Isles of Wales, and God brought great revival in the early colonies under the preaching of John Wesley and Charles Wesley and George Whitefield. The breath of God breathed across here, and many were born into the kingdom. We need that breath of heaven. But a wind, also that same word, speaks of that strong desert wind that blows, my dear friend, across that open plain in Israel. And He's standing there in that dark hour. And Jesus said, He said, the wind bloweth where it listeth. And Nicodemus could feel that wind blowing. I tell you, I felt the wind blow. I tell you, He's blowing everywhere. He said in the book of Psalms, back over in Psalms, it was read yesterday, the other day at Brother Donald's mother's funeral in Psalm 139. He said, whither can I go from thy spirit? I tell you, the wind's blowing. He's blowing across this land. He's blowing across the country. My dear friend, I've felt the wind blow. You go to Wyoming, it blows all the time. Blows day and night. In the summertime, it blows hot. In the wintertime, it blows cold, and it just piles up snow. You ride down those roads in Wyoming, those wide open plains, and out there in the middle of nowhere, there are wood fences, and they're three quarters as high as this wall right there. And they're all along the roadside, and they have a starting point and a stopping point. And I had no idea what they were. And I asked somebody, and I said, what are all those fences out there? There's only one side to it. It's not a circular fence, not a square fence. It's just one piece of fence. And they said, that's a snow fence. Because when the wind's blowing and the snow's falling, it just fills up the highway, and you can't even go through the highway. And they've got that to keep it from drifting up on the highway so much. The wind blows in the wintertime, and it blows in the summer. It blows in the spring, and it'll blow in the fall. The wind blows all the time. The wind bloweth. Thank God, listen, the wind's still blowing. That is our encouragement. That is our blessing, to think that the wind right now is still blowing, and thank God He is. You say, Brother Ben, what's it mean? He's still working. He's still here. He's still in the darkest hour you go through. The Spirit of God is still blowing. In the greatest sorrow you've ever had in your life, the Spirit's still blowing. When you go through the worst physical trial you've ever had, the wind's still blowing. The wind bloweth. He's still God. He's still working. He's still blowing. And my dear friend, He's there. What a hope of revival that the wind's still blowing. It, regardless of what our society is doing, regardless of how hard or how cold, there's never been a winter so cold that God could bring spring and flowers into all these ages, because the wind's still blowing. And I'm telling you right now, as long as God's God and the Holy Ghost of God, the wind's blowing, there's still a chance for revival. There's never been a set of bones that's so dry and so separated that God couldn't pull them together, put sinew and flesh and muscle on, and cause them to get up and walk and dance for the Lord. God can send revival. I believe the Holy Ghost of God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we're able to ask or think. And my friend, therein is our hope that the wind bloweth. But now notice the next little phrase. It said the wind bloweth where He listeth. My dear friend, that's the sovereign work of the Holy Ghost of God. He chooses to work. Listen, we take, you can't control Him. You can't manipulate Him. You can't domesticate him. You can't make him do what you want him to do. He blows. There are people who think that this little group over here is the only one he's going to bless, our little group or this little group. But God didn't operate that way. This is a sovereign act of the wind. He blows where he wants to. He'll blow anywhere. He's able. The wind, the work of the Holy Spirit of God, he works. The Jews felt like that Jesus was a phony, or he was a false prophet because he didn't do like they thought he ought to. The Holy Spirit of God worked and led him. They thought they had it all down pat. But my dear friend, the Holy Ghost of God moves where he wants to, and he uses who he wants to. In the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the book of Matthew, you look at all those folk there, and you'll see a woman by the name of Rahab. She's called Rahab the harlot, and she was a harlot. In that city, when the children of Israel came round Jericho, God's sovereign purpose and grace saved a woman by the name of Rahab. Now, if the Jews had been writing the Bible, they wouldn't put her in there because she was disqualified, but God put her in there. God put her in there. It's the Holy Spirit of God. He blows where he listeth. You can't control him. You can't put him in. As they said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Why, sure, God did. God chose the foolishness of men and foolish things to confound the wise. God will use anything and anybody wants to, at any time he wants to, at any place he wants to. He bloweth where he listeth. He chooses a new thing. We think it's got to be this way, but that's not the case. My dear friend, he'll do it anywhere. Anywhere, my dear friend, God is able to do it, and he'll do it anywhere. I'm glad he's able. And the wind bloweth where he chooses, his sovereign act. He could do it right here. He can do it in this situation, in Benson Grove Baptist Church, in my life, in your life. He blows where he wants to. The sovereign God of heaven, he blows where he wants to. But notice the next little phrase this morning. It said he blows where he listeth. That word listeth, by the way, means willeth, where he wills to do that. And then in the third part of that verse, and thou hearest the sound thereof. Oh, listen, that is that evidence of the working of the Holy Spirit of God. He is absolutely invisible, but he's more real than anybody in this room, and he's here today. Amen. He told Nicodemus, said, you hear that wind? He could hear the wind, but he could feel the wind. He said, that's like the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost, he said, you can hear the sound thereof. There's an evidence of his working in your heart this morning. There may be a racing. There may be something drawing you. You did not intend to come in here and trust Christ. You didn't come in here for God, the Holy Ghost, to get a hold of your heart and bring to light things in your heart that ought not to be there. But he chooses to do that. He does what he wants to. And when he wants to, and how he wants to, and with who he wants to. And my dear friend, here he is. You can hear the wind. Thou hearest the sound thereof. That is the evidence of the working of the Holy Spirit of God. You say, well, Brother Billy, I can't believe that. I can't believe because I can't see him. The Bible said, the world knoweth him not, but you know him. If you've been saved by the grace of God, you know him. You know when the wind's blowing. You can hear it. You can feel it. And you say, Brother Bill, I don't believe anything I can't see. I was reading an article the other day, and a fellow explained it so well. He said this. The fellow said, he's very analytical, and he said, I don't believe anything that I can't see. He said, let me ask you a question. He's asking the Christian. He said, have you ever seen the Holy Spirit? He said, no. He said, have you ever smelled the Holy Spirit? He said, no. He said, have you ever tasted the Holy Spirit? He said, no. He said, have you ever felt the Holy Spirit? He said, yes. I've never seen him. I've never smelled him. But I can feel him. And the guy said, I don't understand that. He said, I'll ask you a question. He said, have you ever had a pain? Said, yeah. Did you feel it? I felt it. He said, did you smell it? He said, no, I couldn't smell it. He said, could you taste it? No, I couldn't taste it. Could you see it? No, I couldn't see it. But you've experienced it. He said, I have. He said, that's the way it is with the Holy Ghost. Once you experience it, you'll know. You'll know. You'll know. You'll feel him. You'll know he's there. And my dear friend, the Holy Spirit of God works. He bloweth, and he blows where he wants to. That's the sovereign work of a holy God. And then you can hear the sound thereof and thank God he's there. He's still working. You see the evidence of him. You can see the evidence of the wind. You can't see the wind, but you can see the pine trees blown over, the oak trees. You can see the roof blown off the house. You can see where he's been. I've seen it in lives transformed. I've seen people, my dear friend, in every shape you could ever imagine, in all type of sin. And I've seen the wind of God blow across their life and change them completely, make them brand new creatures in Christ Jesus. And my dear friend, he'll do the same thing for you. The Holy Spirit of God will move. He blows where he listed, and you can hear the sound of it. There is indisputable evidence of the work of the Holy Spirit of God. There's no way to explain the disciples. There's no way to explain what God did except for the work of the Holy Spirit of God. But now notice the next little phrase. He said he bloweth. That means he's always working. And he listeth, that means he's sovereign. And then you can hear it. That's the evidence of his work. But you cannot tell whence it cometh. That is the mystery of the Holy Spirit of God. In our age especially, people want to be able to lay everything out, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's not the way he works. You want to be able to explain everything about the work of the Holy Spirit of God. Want to be able to comprehend everything about the work. As long as you're trying to analytically explain it, how can these things be? That's what Nicodemus wanted to do. He said, it's got to be laid out black and white. How can it be? Jesus says, like the wind. He said, you can hear the sound of it, but you can't tell where it's coming from. You can't tell where it came. When the wind blows here, did it come from Florida? Did it come from Cuba if it's a south wind? Did it come from Raleigh? Or Greensboro, or Boone, or Cheyenne, Wyoming, when it blows to us from the west, when it comes from the east, did it come from Wilmington, or did it come from Europe? You can't tell where it came from, but it's blowing. There's a certain element of mystery about it. My dear friend, it is about the work of the Holy Spirit of God. You can't always explain what he's doing or why he's doing it or how he's doing it. But as long as he's doing it, my dear friend, what a blessing it is to know that. You can hear the sound thereof. You can hear the sound thereof, but you can't tell where it came from. There's an element of mystery about it, like revival. Our friends, Brother C.T. Townsend, the great revival in the Burlington Revival, went 14, 15 weeks. Many of you got to go, and some of you went several times. Some of us just got to go one time. You can't explain that. You can't explain what happened. I mean, under a tent in that boiling heat, and those who couldn't even get under the tent, the night we went, I think they estimated some 6,000 people sitting out in the sun, getting there 2 hours early for under a tent meeting. And that hot sun and the Holy Ghost of God moving and thousands getting saved, coming from all over everywhere. You can't explain that. You can't duplicate that. He blows where he wants to, and he works like he wants to. The next year, last year, this year, Brother C.T. went back. Brother Randy Hobbs, our good friend, where the revival broke out at, and then they moved under the tent. C.T. came back. Same preacher, same singer. Same pastor, same area, not the same results. Why? Because you can't put him in a box. You can't make him do anything. He chooses to do things. But my dear friend, the wind bloweth where he listeth. You can hear the sound of it, but you can't tell where it came from. There's a mystery about his work. I tell you, you say, Brother Billy, what must we do? What can we do? Listen, God the Holy Ghost can work. God can move into us, and he chooses to do that. He can move anywhere he wants to, anytime he wants to. And so we don't need to try to explain it or to figure it out or to duplicate it. When it happens, we just need to worship. Need to worship. And my dear friend, you don't need to argue about it. You just need to adore him and thank him and glorify him. God does it. When the wind's blowing, you don't need, my dear friend, to try to figure it out. You just need to set your sail and go with the wind. What a blessing. Notice your passage of scripture there, if you will, please. It said, the wind bloweth where he listeth. The wind bloweth. He's always working, and he's sovereign in that work. And you could see evidence of him working, but you can't tell where he came from or whither he goeth. My dear friend, listen. You can't figure out the destiny of the work of the Holy Spirit of God. I think about my own life. People said they were so poor they lived in a log cabin. And I heard a fellow say one time, they talking about, you know, kind of making a joke about that. People talking about how poor they were. And they said, I guess you were born in a log cabin. He said, no, but we moved into one just as soon as we could afford it. But I did. I lived not a log cabin, but a little four-room house. We did have a bathroom. It just happened not to be in the house. Many of you know what I'm talking about. Cotton Mill Town. Little small house, living on dirt road. And God the Holy Ghost came down that road one day. The wind blew, and it blew a young evangelist and a young preacher by the name of Ted James to my mama's house. The Holy Ghost did. And the wind blew, and God saved me that day. This is the truth, my wife tell you. I'd never been on a vacation of any kind until after I got married. We didn't do things like that. Didn't have no money, didn't do nothing. I never saw a steak until after I got married. I thought a steak was round with a red ring around it. That's a steak, praise God. Never saw one. God, the Holy Ghost blew. You never know or whither it goeth. You don't know what God's going to do with a boy lived on a dirt road in a little cotton mill town. Timid, backward, everything you could ever imagine. And what God did and what God's doing and what God's done. I've seen the wind blow. I've seen it blow up down this east coast from Maine to Florida. I've seen the wind blow in Germany and even in China when we got off the plane in China. I've seen the wind blow in the Philippines. I've seen the wind blow out west. I've seen the wind blow in Alaska. God, the Holy Ghost. No telling where the Holy Ghost of God might lead you and take you. You can't understand whither it goeth, where he's going to do in your life, what he's going to change. And oh, what a wonderful thought that is, that he can do what he wants to with anybody in this room. You don't ever know which one of these children back here or the children back there, those in Awanas or those in any of the other ministries. No telling what the Holy Ghost of God, where the wind will carry them. No telling where God in saving them, where the wind will carry them under the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. What great preachers and what great missionaries, what great doctors and lawyers and what great men and women, God the Holy Ghost will move and blow out of this place. Thank God he's able to do that. Nicodemus, my dear friend, he's a ruler of the Jews, and the wind blew him into the presence of Jesus that night. He said, no man can do these miracles except God be with him. God, the Holy Ghost, had drawn him, and God blew him into the presence of Jesus. No telling what the Holy Spirit of God would do. Here's a man, a ruler of the Jews, and not many days after this, he'd be standing in the hall of Pilate asking for the body of Jesus. There's no telling what God would do with you. No telling what God would do in your life. No telling. It's a thrilling thing to think that you're blown by the wind and the Holy Ghost of God carries you where he wants to and does what he wants to with you as long as you'll just yield him, surrender to him, give your life to him completely. Let him have his way in your life. Listen to the wind. Let him do in your life what he wants to do. I just tell you, I don't know where you'll end up or where you'll go. I remember Regina's mama, whenever God called me to preach, we were in a great church, Calvary Baptist Church there, and in Rapids, and I surrendered to preach, and everything was fine. And we were all right there together, her mama and daddy, my mama and daddy, and the grand, Melissa was born, and she was there. And then I came over and preached in this county, over here at Micro, and I've been done some interim work, and I've been assistant pastor there with my pastor, and they called me down here in Micro, and that's not a couple of hours, hour and a half from Rapid. And Regina's mama wasn't too bad with that. That was all right. We moved. It was close. We'd go back and forth, everything. And then from there, God, the wind blew and blew me to Tennessee Temple up in the mountains. And she didn't like that too good. And here we were way off up in there. And we were there for some time. And then And the Holy Ghost of God stirred in my heart and blew a pastor by and spoke to me, and then ended up blowing me down into Florida to finish my education down there and pastoring in Florida. And I came in, I told my wife, we'd been praying about it, and we were there in Chattanooga. And I said to her, how you feel about moving to Florida? She said, I'll go anywhere you feel like the Lord wants to go, but you got to call my mama. And I called Mary Rose, and I said, Mary Rose, I feel like God is leading us to go down into Florida to finish our education. And I didn't know I was going to be pastor and stay down there 10 years, but God, the Holy Ghost moved. And she said to me, she said, where are you going to take her next, Cuba? And I said, I don't know. I don't have any idea. When I got saved, God, the Holy Ghost, God gave me everlasting life, and he called me to preach. And I said, Lord, I'll go where you want me to go, and I'll do what you want me to do. And I sure am glad I did. I would never ended up here if it hadn't been for the Holy Ghost of God. God moved in this place, and God blessed us in this place, and I'm so thankful. You never know what God will do with you. You never know what God's destiny is for you, not in this world. But I can assure you one thing, the same wind that drew you, the same wind that brought you to Christ, the same wind, the breath of heaven that went into your nostrils as the breath of life, is that same wind that one day will take you into heaven. He'll take you there. If you'll trust him as your Savior today, would you bow your heads in prayer with every head bowed, every eye closed? Oh, we need desperately a fresh touch of the Holy Ghost of God around here. I get every day, I get mail outs and texts and emails and about this conference and that conference and about how to and, you know, what's working nowadays about getting people in church, getting folks saved. I'll be honest with you, sometimes, you know, you get wondering, you know, how can you see all these subdivisions, see all these places around here? What are we going to do? What are we to do? How are we going to reach all these people with the gospel? But the truth of the matter is, the wind bloweth where he listeth. It's him. We can't explain it all. And I believe with all my heart that he'll lead us, he'll guide us, he'll direct us, he'll anoint us and he'll fill us. And he'll save if we'll just let the wind blow. Brad said it earlier. If we want the Holy Ghost of God in this church, he's got to be in control of our lives. I'm going to ask you to do something again this morning. Once again, Paul did it similarly. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. If we're going to get closer to him, it'll be the work of the Holy Spirit of God. Paul said of that church there, he said, I travail in prayer once again for you till Christ be formed in you. He said, I want you to be more like Jesus. You get closer to him, you be more like him. It's the work of the Holy Spirit of God to draw us into his presence. Be not drunk with wine, where it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. My dear friend, the work of the Holy Spirit of God is not a part of ministry. He is the work of ministry. The only way you can sing is under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. The only way you can preach is under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. The only way you can live is under the anointing of the Holy Ghost of God. You can walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Individually, he'll draw us closer to him. I'm going to ask you this morning as Christians, would you allow the Holy Spirit of God to work in your life? Would you seek him? When the choir was singing and I knew Brad, they were going to go back through it and sing it again, he motioned to me and I was glad. I had this verse in my mind. How many of you being able know how to give good gifts unto your children? And he goes on and said, would not the Father give you the Holy Ghost to those who ask him? You can have the anointing and power of God. He may do work in my heart, your heart, where we can serve him better. But I'm convinced that it comes at our request. When we approach him and say, oh God, I want the Holy Ghost of God to rule my life. I want to present my body a living sacrifice. You're here this morning. You don't know if you died today, you'd go to heaven. You got question marks. You don't understand it. You can't fully comprehend it. I want to tell you right now, you never will. You never will. There is an element of mystery about the work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said to Nicodemus, having told him that he had to be saved, be born again, he said, that which is born of flesh is the flesh, that which is born of spirit is spirit. The wind bloweth where it listeth, I hear the sound thereof, can't tell where it's going, or whether it, and he said, so is everyone that's born of the Spirit of God. There's an element of mystery to it, there's a step of faith to it. I'm going to just say to you this morning, I can't explain it to you. If I could, I would. But if right now you know you're lost and you need to be saved, the Holy Ghost, the wind bloweth, he's here. And if you were to say, oh, Lord Jesus, I'm lost, I need to be saved, come in my heart, forgive my sins, save me right now. And you mean that with all your heart. He'll make a difference in your life. He'll change you. He'll make you a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. Would you stand, please, with your heads bowed? Brother Brad's going to sing a verse or two of a song. I want to pray for you right now. I encourage God's people, lead the way. But if you're here this morning, you don't know for sure that you're saved, I plead with you, be reconciled to God. Trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to the wind. Holy Ghost of God, you feel him? You feel that conviction of the Holy Spirit of God? You feel that drawing of the Holy Spirit of God? Respond to him in faith right now, and he'll save you. Heavenly Father, I pray right now that the Spirit of God will do what I can't do. Draw by your grace and save for Jesus' sake. I pray, God, that you'd save lost people here in the building and in the media audience. And I pray, God, the Holy Ghost of God will move among your people. God, we ask, oh, God, for that unusual moving of the Holy Spirit of God, the wind to blow our Father across this place. And God, on this church, God, do it, and we'll give you praise and honor and glory. While we remain in attitude of prayer, you come right now. Christians are coming. If you're here and you're not saved, I encourage you to come right now and trust Christ as your Savior.